Good morning, church. Let's rise on our feet as we worship today. And I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders, yes I do. And I have resurrection power. And still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Let's lift this up. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause praise rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Let's sing this out. And come together, sons and daughters, bow with blood and washed in water. And sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Come on, yeah. Our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony. From death to life, cause praise rewrote my story. I'm testified by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Testimony, can we sing this out? If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Oh, greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still. Let's sing this out, ready? If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Testimony from death to life, cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Thank you.
Jesus. we lift up our hearts to the Lord right now and just praise him with our own words, from our own voices today. Honor him and glorify, exalt him together today. We love you, Lord, and we bless your name. You are high and lifted up and worthy to be praised. You alone, Jesus, are the Lord of life. Today, as we gather in your house, we thank you for the privilege of standing in your presence, experiencing your grace, living under your favor and in your divine mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you are the faithful God who supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And we acknowledge this morning, O God, our humble dependence upon you. You're the God who supplies everything that we need today. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross. You paid the ultimate price that we might not only have the forgiveness of our sins, but that we might have healing and that we might experience the help of God in every category of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful plan of salvation that touches every part of us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God gathered here this morning, oh Lord. We pray in Jesus' name for your touch to rest upon each and every one. May those who are sick be healed even in the presence of God this morning. May those who are saddened be filled with the hope and the joy of the Lord today. May the peace of God come and settle the storms that we're dealing with right now in our lives. And may we just acknowledge this morning, oh God, that all of our answers are in you today, Lord, we pray. We just ask today that you would continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this great congregation gathered here this morning. We give you this service, Lord, and we give you our hearts and our lives, and we pray that you would continue to speak to us today in the name of Jesus. Now, friends, let me have your attention for just a moment. And Iva has contacted us with a special prayer request this morning regarding the ministry in Haiti. And we've been praying for some time for a young man there, a boy, and now into his, how old is David Davidson now? 15 years old. And for some time now, we've been working, this ministry has been working. I say we because we've all been praying together. And we've been working to bring this young man to the United States for a very complicated surgery that really can only be done here. And God is making a way. And so he's going to be coming, I think. His case is going to be presented in New York City. And we want to pray that the door would be wide open, that God would just move in every detail of this process. Can we pray for that? And pray for this little guy, this young man, Davidson. The Lord is able to touch him and bring healing. And we're just praying that God would do a mighty work in his life. Pastor Bob, take the microphone right there. And Iva, you know the need better than everyone else. Would you just lead us right there where you are in prayer? And let's agree together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Father, giving you praise, honor, glory. Thank you, Father, for what you have already done.
Thank you, Lord.
And right now, Lord, we are praying on behalf of Davidson, Father, that he would be able to come here to the United States. Thank you for Dr. Dixon, who will be going to the Children's Hospital this week to appeal to administration in New York to accept this young man, Father. And Lord, we pray not only will they accept him, Father, but that they will help to support. And again, Lord God, once this process is done, we pray that Congressman Blaine Luchtmeyer's office is able to get the visa and the door is open for him to be here, that the surgery will be successful, Lord, and that he will have a normal, healthy life and great testimony of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. How many of you believe this morning there's no distance with the Word of God and with the power of God? And so together right now in agreement, in faith, we speak to Davidson and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And may the healing processes of the Lord, the will of God, and the process designed by God to bring him healing, may that be brought about in its completion in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I see some added football fans in the room this morning. And some of you are hoping to get home to watch the Chiefs by noon. I'm just warning you this morning, we have an extra long sermon today. No. You go ahead and go home and watch the Chiefs, and we'll hope they do better than last week. Amen. All right, good to have you this morning. Don't leave mad right now. Instead, just forgive and let's have church this morning. Could you say amen? All right, take a few moments right now to welcome those around you and to greet one another before you're seated, please. God bless you.
Everyone. Again, we want to welcome you today to First Assembly. Thank you for being here. We want to take a moment and extend a special welcome to those that might be visiting for the first time. If that's you, we say welcome, and we are thrilled that you are here today. We would like to ask if you would just take a moment to fill out the information card that's on the back of the seat directly in front of you. And then if you would, please swing that by our welcome center that's located in the lobby right after service, and we'll have someone there to meet you and greet you, get to know you a little bit more. And we have a nice little gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. I want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to our church. And you can continue to either give online or visit one of the drop boxes that's located at the back of the sanctuary by the doors. And we so much appreciate, again, your faithfulness. One other real quick word of announcement. We heard that someone in our congregation is getting older today. We didn't think she could get much older, but we found out otherwise. She won't be with us next week, but so let's welcome her this morning. Let's give it up for Tammy Shute today. Stand up, Tammy. Come on, stand up. I know her age because I asked her husband. Does anybody want to know what it is? If you think it's 37. Okay, if you think it's below 60, raise your hand. If you think it's above 60, no, I'm just teasing. All right. Happy birthday. And I believe it's Patrick Mahomes' birthday today as well. So two special superstars today. All right. If you would you stand with us today? And we want to invite you to continue to worship with us as Heidi and Doug. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi and worship team this morning. And let's be seated, please, everyone, as we look to the Word of God together in John chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. A long scripture passage this morning. Turn me up just a little bit, Bill, if you can, so I can hear myself. I have to hear myself or I don't know what I'm saying. And is that too loud now? How about now? Is that too loud? Let's test it out. How about now? Now, middle of the road there, Bill, between what you had it and what you got it now. And I'm kind of a middle of the road preacher. And so that is not true in any sort of the meaning of that statement. And so this morning we're going to be looking at another one of the great miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus raised 3 people from the dead in the pages of the New Testament. Three recorded miracles of resurrection from the dead. And we've looked at 2 of those resurrections already. The miracle of the resurrection of the widow's son at Nain. One of my favorite stories. At the end of that story, the people all shout out, God has come to help his people. The other next miracle Jesus did of resurrection from the dead is the raising of Jairus' daughter, a little girl, 12-year-old daughter, Jesus raised from the dead. I love that story too, because at the end of that story, Jesus says, give her something to eat. And I love those kinds of words from the Lord Jesus. Give her something to eat. We're going to look at the next miracle, the third published miracle of resurrection from Jesus, by Jesus from the dead. It's a man named Lazarus. Everybody say Lazarus. Say Lazarus. Now say Lazarus. All right. Don't ever call this man Lazarus. Half the world calls him Lazarus. But his name is Lazarus with an S on the end. And his miracle is recorded for us by the Apostle John in John chapter 11. A great miracle also of resurrection from the dead. We know that when Jesus was crucified, at the moment of Jesus' death, the scripture says the veil of the temple that stood between the holy place and the most holy place in the temple at Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom. A sign and a symbol that the way into the presence of God had been fully opened through Jesus Christ. We could not get to God. We had to go through processes and through mediators, but Jesus came to be the mediator between God and man. And so when he died, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And the scripture says many of the dead who lived, who slept in the earth, I'm conflating that passage with Daniel's prophecy, but many of those who were dead, those righteous dead, were raised to life at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they went into Jerusalem and appeared to many people. That was a great miracle. And of course, the most remarkable miracle of all was that Jesus Christ himself, after dying and being buried in the tomb, 3 days and 3 nights later, Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. And he is alive today. Would you say amen? So the resurrections of people from the dead in the New Testament, well, we don't have a lot of story. 10 miracles in the Old Testament and New Testament combined. We know that in the book of Acts, there were 2 miracles of resurrection from the dead. We know that Peter, the apostle, was instrumental in praying for a dead woman named Dorcas. Her other name was Tabitha. Which name would you go by? Okay. And Peter went to Joppa and raised Tabitha, Dorcas, from the dead. And one other miracle of resurrection from the dead in the book of Acts. I love that story as well. It was the Apostle Paul in his ministry. I love this story because it demonstrates that all great preachers are long-winded preachers. Because as Paul was preaching, the Bible says he went on and on and on till about midnight, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window, the third story window, and as Paul went on and on, Eutychus fell out the window. Now, we've got a lot of people in the balcony. Watch yourself up there. Don't fall down. Don't fall down dead during the service. And Paul went down, and Paul was instrumental in raising Eutychus from the dead. So we have stories of the resurrection of the dead in the scripture, but they are not as common as other miracles of healing. And the reality is, we don't see as many resurrections from the dead these days. I've never personally seen someone literally raised from the dead. We've seen people who are at death's door and those kinds of things. And when Jesus raised people from the dead in the pages of Scripture, he did it, I believe, to demonstrate his supernatural authority and power over death. And how many of you know that someday we're all going to need Jesus to exercise that authority? Because should Jesus delay his coming, we're all going to die. Okay? We hope to be raptured, but without the rapture, we're all going to die. And so we need a Lord who can defeat death for us. Would you say amen? And Jesus has that authority. He has power over physical death. He has power over spiritual death. And we're going to see it big time in the story this morning from John chapter 11 as we examine this miracle. Lazarus, come out. John 11 verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The sisters sent word to Jesus. I want you to see this morning, that's the first step in this miracle of resurrection today. The sisters sent word to Jesus. They may have wondered if the message got through because the response didn't come as quickly as they expected. And they waited and waited. But in the end of the story, we're going to find that the message did get through. And even before Jesus appeared before them, he was already strategizing and working a plan to bring about a great miracle of resurrection from the dead. How many of you here this morning have prayed and prayed for a while and the answer didn't come immediately, but you kept on praying and trusting the Lord? Would you say amen? Sometimes we have to sing that little old song that I learned as a child growing up. The answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. My heavenly Father knows the need before we pray, and we can rest assured the answer is on the way. Everybody say, the answer's on the way. And this story today illustrates the reality that though we may not see the answer yet, that does not mean that God is not working and that God doesn't have something awesome prepared for us in the days ahead. Would you say amen? Our story this morning begins with a deadly disease. Chapter number one, a deadly disease. And we read in the scriptures that a man is sick. Verse one again. A man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Now pause for just a moment to think about this Mary who poured perfume on the Lord. It's interesting that John makes that remark here in chapter 11 because John doesn't tell the story until chapter 12. In the next chapter, he'll tell that story in its fullness. And let me remind you that there are other stories in the Gospels about ladies who came and sat at the feet of Jesus and poured perfume upon him. Some of them were sinful women, the scripture says. We don't have a record that is this Mary. This is a friend of Jesus, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. The scripture says that that this Lazarus was one whom Jesus loved, and they were in the living in the town of Bethany. Do I have my pointer there, Pastor Peter? Thank you, sir. Let's take a look at our New Testament map, our Sunday morning map for this series of the nation of Israel. And let's think about where we are today. Today, we are in the little town of Bethany. Everybody say Bethany. Right outside of Jerusalem, just to the east of Jerusalem, on the foothills of the Mount of Olives, is the little town of Bethany. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he often stopped at Bethany. That was the place where he would stay with his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus would go back and forth to Jerusalem and do his ministry in Jerusalem. But when it was time for a good night's sleep, he traveled back out to Bethany, where he stayed with this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This little town of Bethany is a famous town also because this is the site from which Jesus ascended to heaven. The Gospel of Luke declares that Jesus went out to the vicinity of Bethany, and as he's there, he ascended to the presence of God in heaven. So here they are there, and Lazarus becomes sick. And a message is sent. Verse 3 says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. You know, that ought always to be our first response when we come up against any need, to call upon the name of the Lord. Could you say amen? Sometimes we think about other remedies first, and God has provided many remedies to us in this life, but the best remedy of all is the help of God in any situation. And so they send word to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. The next portion of the story is a mysterious portion. It's the deliberate delay on the part of Jesus. Now, if someone sent word to you and said, the one you love is sick and we need you right now, our first inclination would be to get on the bus or jump in the car or get on the bicycle or whatever the case is and get on over there to see the one who needs us. After all, we love people and we want them to experience the help that they need. Amen. And we would think that Jesus, of all people, who had so much power to help people and to heal people, that when Jesus received this request from the sisters, that he would immediately make his way back to the region of Jerusalem and Bethany and heal Lazarus. That could have been another story in the New Testament, the healing of Lazarus's sickness. And yet we have this mysterious delay. Verse number 4 says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end. Everybody say end. This sickness will not end in death. Now, it would include death, but with Jesus, death doesn't have to be the end. Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Now, where was Jesus? Let's take a quick look at the map again. We believe from the chronology of the Gospel of John that as you know, Mary and Lazarus are here in Bethany, and we believe Jesus is probably over here on the other side of Jordan where John had been baptizing in the early days. Jesus was somewhere probably over here, and he had gone over there to escape the Jews who were trying to kill him, trying to capture him. So he was over on this side of the river, and Bethany was not very far. He could have been back there maybe in, you know, half a day or maybe several hours. He could have been back to Bethany, and yet he delayed, the mysterious delay. And then Jesus, as he's talking to the disciples about this, and the conversation gets kind of weird. How many of you know that when the disciples talk to Jesus, their conversation sometimes is a little weird? We can't always follow the disciples' thinking process. But as Jesus discusses this matter with them, he mentions daylight. And look at verse number 8. Jesus said, let's go back to Judea. And verse 8, they say, but Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Now, John includes somewhat mysterious statements from Jesus all throughout his gospel. But as we hear Jesus say that, let me just summarize this with my opinion of what Jesus is saying. My opinion is this: I'm going to be okay. Okay, they say, we don't want to go back there because they were trying to kill you. And Jesus says, well, it's daylight, and if I walk in daylight, I won't stumble. And I believe Jesus is simply saying, let's go on back, it's going to be okay. Okay, because it's not my time yet for them to take me. Everything will be all right. And the disciples continue to misunderstand the situation. Verse 11, after Jesus had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen what? Has fallen asleep. But I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, we call him Doubting Thomas because of something later in his story. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Isn't Thomas the everlasting encourager? Let's go over there so that we may die with him. But how many of you know Jesus did not plan for them all to go over and die with Lazarus? The plan was very different from that. And Jesus sort of, at least in John's commentary, Jesus ignores that statement from Thomas. Probably many of the statements we make to try to diagnose spiritual situations should probably be ignored as well. Have you ever heard anybody who was always making some spiritual comment about something, but most of the comments they made were either irrelevant or off the wall? Yeah. We've made those kind of statements as well. And so Jesus leads the disciples back across the river and over to the town of Bethany. And as he arrives, the people are mourning the dead. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how long? 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Mary and Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And Jesus walks into the middle of this situation where there's a bunch of mourning going on, where Lazarus has already been dead and gone for 4 days. Jesus had delayed for 2 days, and then he makes his way back. And so, you know, when he arrives on the scene, we're all thinking, well, Jesus, why didn't you go earlier? You missed the opportunity to bring healing to Lazarus. And we might be tempted to become disappointed in the timing of Jesus. The truth is, many of us become disappointed in the timing of Jesus on a regular basis because we want everything right now, don't we? In fact, when I pray for something, I want it yesterday. And we're accustomed, you know, in this day and age, we're accustomed to getting things quickly. And when we pray, we want a quick answer. one of the reasons we want a quick answer is because we can't see what's going on in the unseen realm. Are you here? Does anybody remember that Daniel the prophet had a word from the Lord, but Daniel had to wait and wait and wait. 21 days, Daniel is waiting, and finally the answer comes. Anybody here today who's ever prayed for longer than 21 days? And yet the reality is sometimes things are happening and moving in the unseen realms that we know nothing about. And that was the case in this story. Jesus has plans and intentions, but thus far he has pretty much kept them to himself. Now he gave the disciples a clue when he said, he's asleep and I'm going to wake him up. But they didn't understand what he was talking about. And so Jesus arrives and they are mourning the dead. Chapter 1, deadly disease. Chapter 2, deliberate delay. Chapter 3 in this story, disappointment declared. And Jesus ministers to the two sisters one-on-one in this story. Notice first that Jesus ministers to disappointed Martha. Verse 20 says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Notice the first thing Martha says to Jesus. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And sometimes we ask the question, where is the Lord? Sometimes we look back upon a situation and we say, where was God in the middle of that? Do you know the Israelites asked that question as they were marching through the desert? On one occasion, they said, is the Lord among us or not? Now, they had seen signs of his presence and his power, but they weren't getting everything they wanted. And so they said, is the Lord with us or not? And sometimes we ask that question, where is God in the midst of this? Let me tell you something, friends. God is right where he's always been. He's on the throne. But he does not always work according to our timetables, and he doesn't always work according to our plans and determinations. God is God, and we are not. And many times, he designs situations in very different ways than we would design those situations. But here is Martha. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he's their friend. And so it's natural for Martha to express this disappointment. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, everybody say even now. Even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now, let's take a moment to examine Jesus' conversation with Martha here. This is one of the most familiar conversations in all the New Testament. Because Jesus makes a declaration about himself that people, preachers, Christians make all the time. As Jesus declares to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha expressed disappointment in Jesus. But listen to me. She was not expressing doubt or disbelief in Jesus. She was disappointed in his delay. But I want you to notice here that her faith was not destroyed by her disappointment. Is everybody awake this morning? Sometimes we become disappointed with how God does or does not act. I want to urge you this morning, don't let disappointment destroy your faith and your confidence in Jesus. Martha was disappointed, but she did not fall into disbelief. She had what we're calling here in this passage an even now faith. Everybody say, even now. Even now. This is one of the most powerful statements of faith, I believe, in all the New Testament. She says, go back to that scripture, please, Hannah. She says to the Lord Jesus, I believe that even now, here it is, even now. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Where am I? Thank you for your help this morning. There it is. Even I believe, I know that, say it with me. Even now, God will give you whatever you ask for. That is a powerful faith. You see, sometimes we get ourselves past deadlines and past opportunities and past open doors. We come to places where what we prayed for did not happen. It did not happen. And sometimes we get to the place where it did not happen and now it can't happen because the hour is too late. We missed the opportunity and what we wanted has no room to come into being. But how many of you know that even when we've missed the opportunity to receive what we wanted, God can do an even now miracle in the midst of it? Say amen. And he is able to diagnose the situation and say, I know what you need in this moment. You didn't get a healing. In this story, Jesus is going to say, no, you didn't get a healing, but you're going to get a resurrection from the dead. Sometimes God has something so much greater in store for us than what we even asked or imagined, that when the whole thing is done, we look back and we say, what an awesome God I serve. I wanted this, but he gave me that. Something so much better than I ever could have imagined. And so Martha had that kind of faith. I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Hear me now. Martha is expressing her belief in the power of Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. There's no doubt about that. Even now. She believed Jesus could do whatever. She believed Resurrection Day was coming at the end, the resurrection prophesied by Daniel the prophet. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And she believed that Jesus had the power to do whatever he wanted to do in the midst of that sad situation. And she declared her faith. And Jesus ministers to disappointed Martha. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus closes that declaration with this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I often, when I'm conducting a graveside service at a cemetery somewhere, when we prepare to close out the funeral day, and the body is about to be buried, and I read these scriptures from the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I give to them eternal life, said Jesus, and they will never perish. And I often close that time, even in the midst of a funeral service, by asking the question, do you believe this? And I have to say to you this morning, I believe it. I believe Jesus has power over death. I believe Jesus can, listen, I believe Jesus can sustain my physical life with health and strength as long as he desires and determines to do so. Do you believe that? I believe nothing can, I am a child of God. Are you? And I believe as a child of God, nothing can take me out of this world apart from the timing and the permission of my Heavenly Father. I believe that. I believe my steps are ordered by the Lord. Yep. I believe my life is in the hands of God. Yes. I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes. And I believe that God has charge of my days. Moses prayed in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days. But listen, God is the ultimate author of life, and he is the one who has my days numbered. And so I believe Jesus has power over death. I believe beyond that. I believe that should Jesus delay his coming and should I be buried in the ground someday, I believe that there's coming a day when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe one day, graveyards are going to look like plowed fields as Jesus raises the dead back to life. He is the resurrection and the life. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, if you're here today and you have no plans for your eternity, I want to tell you this morning, right here in this house this morning, you can say yes to Jesus. He is the Lord of life. He can give you a plan for today and tomorrow and for the next 10 trillion years. He is the Lord over death. Would you say amen? Amen? And so Jesus ministers to disappointed Martha, and he says, do you believe that I'm the Lord of life? She does believe. Now, it's time for sister to come out. And Jesus ministers to disappointed Mary. Look at verse 28. Everybody still awake with me? Say amen. Look at verse 28. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, get this from Mary, Lord, if you had been here, what? My brother would not have done. Do you think those two sisters rehearsed that? I think they rehearsed that. I do. I think somewhere in that 4-day period, they both said to each other at the kitchen table, give me some water. I'm going to need a resurrection from the dead this morning myself. I believe they sat a, thank you, Pastor Malik. I believe they probably sat across the kitchen table and said over and over again, well, if Jesus had been here, he wouldn't have died. Whew. That's good. Whew. I feel another 45 minutes coming. I should have tried that water in the middle of the sermon a long time ago. Oh. Forget the Chiefs. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now think about this with me today. Both Mary and Martha were disappointed. And they both let Jesus know about it. They both expressed their disappointment to Jesus. But neither sister had lost their confidence in Jesus or their devotion to Jesus. Are you listening? Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that if God doesn't always do things on your timetable and in your fashion, that you ought to give up on God. That is a lie from the devil, and that is a losing proposition. How many of you know that when we don't understand things, we just need to cling more closely to the Lord Jesus? So they're both disappointed, but both of them are still devoted to Jesus. And both Mary and Martha were so grateful and so greatly comforted by the arrival and the presence of Jesus. His presence made the difference in their sorrow. and he came to be with them. So they declare their disappointment. Chapter 1, deadly disease. Chapter 2, deliberate delay. Chapter 3, disappointment declared. Chapter 4, thank God we finally got here. Death defeated. And Jesus takes the route to the sepulcher. Notice, verse 34, Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" Can you sense something's about to happen? As Jesus asks the sisters, "Where have you laid him?" He asked, "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then John 11, 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Now, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, but that short verse has a big message. Jesus wept. He cares about us, doesn't he? And this is Jesus, you know, he knew what he was about to do. He could have just been whistling through the whole thing, couldn't he? He knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he felt their sorrow, and he weeps with them. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, here it is again now, "Could not this one who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And as they arrive at the tomb, Jesus commands the removal of the stone. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time..." Oh, how I long sometimes for the King James Bible back in my pulpit. "By this time," says the King James Version, "he stinketh." "By this time, he stinketh." Well, we'll read it from our New International Version. "By this time, there's a bad odor." How many of you think "he stinketh" makes the case better? "By this time, he stinketh." I could say that for the rest of the day. "For he has already been in the tomb for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And as they take away the stone, we come to the resurrection recall from the Savior. Verse 41, then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now note Jesus' public prayer for the benefit of the hearers. The benefit, let me have my water again, because I got about 40 minutes more to go. Jesus prayed, and when Jesus prayed, he said, this prayer is for the benefit of those who are hearing. Now, the benefit of the hearers would be that they would see that Jesus had a powerful relationship with his heavenly Father, and that whatever he asked for, he was going to get from his Father. And then note the death-defying call made by Jesus. He shouted to the body. But think about this. Was Lazarus in that body? No. Lazarus was not in the body. Lazarus was already out of the body. He was dead. And Jesus may have shouted at the body, but he was shouting to Lazarus, who was already in the presence of Abraham in the belly of the earth, in the realm of the dead. Think about how powerful is the voice of Jesus to shout beyond the tomb and all the way down into the ground, into the region of the dead. I want you to know the word of the Lord Jesus is powerful. And he shouts out to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus' spirit returned from the abode of the dead and re-entered the body. Now we also note here, there's so many things in this story. We note also that Jesus called Lazarus by name. One old preacher suggested that if Jesus had not used Lazarus's name, every dead person within shouting distance would have come out of their graves and come back to life. Because listen, the voice and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful and so mighty that death cannot stand in the presence of the Lord of life. And so Jesus shouted to him by name, Lazarus, come out, come out. And Lazarus marched out of the tomb, still wrapped in his burial clothes. Jesus gave instructions, get the death wrap off of him. He's alive, and let him go. Think about this with me. This is my own opinion this morning. Can I give you my own opinion? I believe that just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace, and the scripture says they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. Are you with me? I believe that as Lazarus marched out of that tomb that day, the stink evaporated. Are you here? Divine Febreze. And it wasn't just a cover-up. One of our old pastors, Pastor Roger Perkin, whom I love so dearly in Springfield, his wife Faith went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. I remember Sister Faith Perkin saying one time as she was talking about perfume, someone commented that they liked the smell of her perfume. I'll never forget her saying, and if you knew Faith Perkin, you know she was a hoot anyway. And she said, longtime pastor's wife, she said, the prettier I smell, the dirtier I am. Of course, she was teasing with that. She was saying, well, the smell of perfume can cover up a lot of offenses. Has anybody ever tried that? Spraying something into the mix to try to mask the bad odor. But I want to tell you, when Lazarus marched out of the tomb that day, I believe every mark of death faded away in an instant at the powerful, life-giving breath of Jesus Christ. And I believe Lazarus came out of that tomb smelling like a rose. And nobody could say he still stinketh. Because Jesus had brought life. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I say, if you're a Christian raised to life by Jesus, don't drag around in grave clothes. Get the grave clothes off and get some new clothes on. Get the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus adorned upon your life. Amen. And walk around in the freedom and the sweetness of real life. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The story closes with the resulting salvations. Verse 45 says, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Wouldn't you? Yeah. We close this morning with four messages from the miracle. Look at them with me. Number one, Jesus breathes life into the dead and dying. He works miracles of resurrection. He brings hope into hopeless atmospheres. So call on him for help today. Look up at me, everybody. It's never too late for the Lord Jesus to help you. Are you here? It's never too late for the Lord Jesus to help you. He is the miracle worker who can raise the dead and bring the dying back to life. I believe that. Some of you have very difficult situations in the house today. For some of you, we've been praying that the Lord would turn situations around. I believe our Lord is the Lord of the turnaround. He can turn something around that's been going in the wrong direction for a long, long time. Are you here this morning? I believe nothing is too hard for him. So call on him for help today. Number two, God's delays are not necessarily denials, and his timing is not always our timing. So keep praying and trusting. Don't give up or give in to doubt and discouragement. Who is there this morning who'd be honest with me enough to say that there have been times when you have been disappointed that God did not move in the way or the timing that you desired? Anybody here ever been disappointed? I think probably everybody has been there. Some people have been there for long seasons of time. Some people are disappointed over a situation. Some people are disappointed over long, long seasons of their lives. But listen, just because God hasn't answered in the way and the timing that you would have desired, don't give up or give in to that disappointment. Stay strong. Listen to me. And when the going gets tough, just hang a little closer to Jesus. Would you say amen? As I said to somebody recently, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Right? Sometimes we don't know what to do, but there are some things we know to do. When you don't know what to do, grab hold of Jesus and hang on tight. Yes? Now, if you're hanging on to Jesus, you're going to make it through every storm and every trial. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Number three, one day Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, calling the Christian dead out of their graves and catching his living followers up to heaven. So let's be ready. Are you ready today? I said, are you ready today? There was some talk this week, you know, this past, what day was it, Pastor Peter? Was Rosh Hashanah. Yesterday, was it yesterday? Rosh Hashanah, Jewish feast day, festival day, and people were saying this week, I think the rapture may take place this week. I think the rapture may take place this week. I've heard people say that every fall season for the last, 25 years. I've been hearing that one day Jesus is going to come. Hear me now. He may not have come yesterday, but he may come today. And one day Jesus is coming. Just as sure as he came the first time, he's going to come the second time. They waited for a long time for the coming of Messiah, but just because there was delay in the fulfillment of the promise of God to send his Redeemer into this world, and just as there may be delay even now in the coming of the Lord Jesus to receive us unto himself, just as surely as Jesus was born in the manger on that Christmas night, Jesus is coming again. And listen, we better be ready. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? The Apostle Peter asked this question. Since everything's going to happen like this, what kind of people ought we to be? The answer is this, in short form, we got to be ready. Living for Jesus, hanging on to him in hope, walking in obedience to him. We need to be ready. Jesus is coming. And message number four, Jesus is the Lord of life. He regularly raises people from the death of sin into the life of salvation. So trust him for forgiveness and for freedom and for your forever future. In Jesus' name, amen.